Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you back to our podcast called The Coach, The Counselor, and The Spiritual Director. It's good to be back. I'm joined here with Marcos. Marcos is he's a coach, a counselor, and a spiritual director. For the purposes of our time together, he'll be spiritual director and a counselor, kind of give us that perspective. So Marcos, how are you doing today?
I am fine. I'm excited about the conversation today, Dawn. Thank you.
Good. So we're going to continue with our conversation about trauma. We've already done two podcasts on that, that topic, and we'll continue. And today we'd like to focus a little bit more on, so how do we heal from trauma? What does that look like? And to start, I just want to just review a couple things that we've talked about so far. And one of those is, I don't know that we specifically talked about this, but kind of what's the difference between stress and trauma? And so stress is, we think about that as an activation of mind body, the mind body system in response to an experience, some sort of stressor that we have. So that could be like, it could be anything like illness, traffic, death, important events, big life changes, natural disasters, even the anticipation of those things. So just to know, our stress response is good. It can be damaging if it exists for too long, if it's too frequently or lasts too long, or if we learn to be afraid of it. But it helps us to know that something needs to happen. We need to take some kind of action. So trauma, we see that as something negative and unexpected happens, and it leaves us feeling confused, overwhelmed, and powerless. So I think those are three important words: confused, overwhelmed, and powerless. So a big T trauma, what sort of makes that different than a small T trauma is that it's life-threatening. There's something about it that's life-threatening. A small T trauma is non-life-threatening. It can be some kind of an injury, anywhere from injury to emotional abuse, racism, bullying, loss of a significant person, harassment, a messy breakup, unexplained losses, unplanned expenses, or a job change. So sometimes we think that that big T trauma, that's actually, if we've had one of those, we really need to get help or notice it. But actually, even the small T traumas, if they happen frequently enough, they can actually affect our emotional and nervous systems even more significantly than big T traumas. So Marcos, as you listen to all that, hear all that, what are your thoughts about all that?
Yeah, that's a very helpful distinction, Dawn, I believe. And what comes up to me as I hear you talking about the distinction between the stress and this thing that happened yesterday that was so hard and intense and trauma, you know, either big T or small T trauma, I think is window of tolerance, what comes to my mind, you know, that there is kind of a window of tolerance, emotional tolerance that we have as human beings, right? And there's a lot of factors and a lot of capacities, you know, that influence this. And we actually have the capacity or not. So this has to do with what they call nature. It might be something genetic, or it might be environment. Actually, it is with both. But anyway, for whatever reason, whatever comes, takes me out this window of tolerance, has the potential to create this inability to self-regulate. The key of the window of tolerance is to learn to self-regulate. You know, I might be my window of tolerance in a very high, hyper-arousal deal, right? But I know how to come back. I have the skills, if you want, that would embed in me to come back to a kind of a level that is normal. Or I can be very low, right? Very in a kind of depressive, really down, but I also know how to come back. Now, events that take us out of this window of tolerance have the potential to become traumatizing. It depends how we express, process them, how that experience is lived. It might be the same person having the same event with the same hyperarousal, but process in a different way. And I guess that's a very good... So do I find myself unable to regulate, to self-regulate, either from the hyperarousal or the hyperarousal down? You know, I cannot come down. This depression, you know, it takes me days. There are many reasons, but that is a good distinction to take. Well, maybe this is connected with something that is connected with trauma, right? Experiences. So that's what comes up for me as I hear you saying that.
Yeah, and I think part of what you were saying in there too, Marcos, was that like it's not necessarily the trauma, the event, it's how we experienced it. So two people can have the same experience and be affected, you know, very differently. And one of the things I know that affects that is, so how were we cared for after the trauma? So if we have a set of parents, you know, you have a bad day at school, you got bullied, and you can come home and your parents are there and they listen to you and they're not like, well, what did you do? Or try to maybe see that you're at fault. They're like, hey, I'm so sorry that happened. That helps to process, like you used that term, process the trauma. It helps you to process it and it doesn't get stored in your body. And then over time, we start to think, well, maybe there is a reason I'm getting bullied and I deserve being bullied. So our ability, yeah, just how the people around us are able to care for us during that. And then as we get older, it's actually our ability to, sometimes we have to ask, figure out how do I ask for the help for someone to help me through this trauma.
Yeah. And there's a connection here. I just want to point it out. I don't want to talk much about it, but so how we process, right, is very connected with how our families of origin were, right? Was dad around? Was mom around? Was somebody that was able to help me process, right? To model, you know, this coming back from up or down and say, it's not you, it's okay, you know, with my own body, right? So I don't have to be reenacting that. With that is a huge connection. So that's my call, small t, you know, not the small t because of not the event, but it might be a very hard trauma. In my family of origin, there was nobody to help me process. Small events repeated once and again, bullied at the school, might cause a very big impact in my life that has that element. You know, and in the same way, it might have been a shooting at school. But I was able to process that love and, you know, self-regulate. So that might be always remember, but maybe not be the same trauma that we're talking about that shows up in my present, you know, and makes me less functional.
Yeah, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, like, for me growing up, a lot of times I felt alone. Like that was and I didn't even know this till kind of a few years ago, but you know, having an alcoholic father and a mom that was pretty trying to raise kids by herself, trying to, just keep, life going, food on the table, just kids to events. I felt really alone. There just wasn't a lot of capacity there. And so I guess just last week, it was a conversation with my husband and we were just making some changes in a certain area of our life. And I was going to be taking over some things that I didn't understand. It's actually just some financial things and I didn't understand all of it. And boy, that I felt so alone in that. Like feeling alone really triggered me. And so as an adult, then I have to figure out, okay, so like, am I really alone? What do I need? How do I navigate this? Because I'm not really alone now, but that's the experience of my body was you're alone. And I kind of panicked and I couldn't think about how to make a good decision around this because of that memory. in my body and my experience. Do you have any experiences you like for you that you just know, like, this is just, I know this is a trigger for me?
Yeah. Actually, even what you were talking about, and I think I shared this in the previous conversation about trauma, just you saying memories of feeling alone. I have this specific memory too of feeling alone a lot. I was in a spiritual, a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I was in a retreat, in a spiritual retreat, in a silence retreat, and there were some presentations and some stuff, you know, by somebody who has become a little bit of a teacher, you know, and he mentioned something that triggered something in me, right? And he was not even the center of the conversation, but I think he was responding to a question, and he said, yeah, you know, often when we have memories, when kids have memories of feeling alone or being alone all the time, usually it might be a case of emotional abandonment. And there were boom, something about those two words, emotional abandonment, that felt like a brick in my soul, right? Boom. And in the next 5 seconds, I was able to put a kind of a few bullet points of boom, 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 memories I had of feeling alone, emotional abandonment. I had to unpack that over the next months. And that evening, I had tears, and the next day I had tears. All this is, the experience was kind of the same. You know, mom and dad love me, provide for me, but they were really, really busy. My dad was, you know, very social, and alcohol was part of that society, and very functional, very social into the context of it. And mom was very busy with the hotel to manage. And I was in my forest, and the memories of my childhood are me being alone in my forest. Not all the time, not 100%, but you see, there was a lot of that I can tell you is at play. When I that's my cave. That is the place where I hide, right? And those have been really hard for me to process over the years. I think I've done really well, but that's what came as you share your story.
Yeah, great. Thanks for sharing that. So I want to shift now a little bit to kind of what's the experience of healing from trauma? Like what actually happens in the mind and body? We know that the mind and body, they're very much connected. They communicate with each other. So it's not just something that happens in the mind. It's not just something telling me, Dawn, you're not alone. Like you have a husband, he cares about you. It's not someone telling you that that's not true anymore. Like it doesn't just work by giving us information. We have to actually have the experience. And one of the key pieces to that is that we heal in relationship, in connection with other people. We are social creatures. Part of the mind-body connection is, you know, designed for survival and social connection. Those help us develop. They help us thrive. And so, Marcos, as you think about your healing journey, how do you see that happening in the mind and body in connection with other people, with another person, other like a relationship?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question and brings a lot of memory to memories for me. But you are right, really good in pointing that this happens in connection. So this is not about information, right? This is one of those places where the information is not sufficient. Excuse me, is not enough to produce change. So if you're talking about a guy who had a trauma, you know, because he was in war and every big noise reenacts some of that, the reality, and there's implicit memory and explicit memory, and what happens in the brain is the trauma stores in the implicit memory. You know that with time, there's not a sense of time. Time is in the other side of memory, the explicit, you know, okay, what time is it? That was yesterday. A trauma is not there. trauma is in my implicit memory. Mm. There is a sense it is non-verbal, it is non-linear, it is not sequential. It is more like a sense of, I smell coffee, you know, and that brings some stuff to you that you don't have. It's good. I mean, if you like coffee, it's good, whatever, right? That smell is in that part of the brain. And there's no linear of time. So that guy who had problems with bombs in the war suddenly hears that, and his brain gets that and he cannot tell the difference between, well, that happened 20 years ago, right? But it's happening now, and he might have a whole reaction, you know, not emotional, not only emotional, but behavioral, into that is aspect, because there is no difference of time. So the body gets connected into it. And, you know, how you heal from that, it is through another felt experience, right? Of being a little bit safe, you know. And I will say three things about this, okay? And we develop them. We want to make it too long. The first one is that it happens little by little by little. And it is, it doesn't happen, okay, let's going to have an intensive work today to heal your trauma. I don't think it's going to traumatize you more, probably, right? It happens in a window of tolerance that is even smaller because of the trauma. You just go, touch, and come back. I like the analogy in one of the books that has been helpful for me is what happened to you. The analogy of somebody makes is that you have to go back to the wreck, to the tsunami field that was left after the devastation or the earthquake. You have to go back, and you go back to that, and you can kind of review and rescue a little piece of that that still is you. But you cannot be there forever. You just have to come back to safety, right? So first thing, little by little. Second thing, safety. It happens in the context of safe. They call it psychological safety. No judgment, no condemnation, love. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to correct you. I'm here with you, and you are safe with me. It's felt experience. And the last thing that I will say, it happens through body. So it is the connection of safety that a person gives you. You never feel completely self alone. That's a little bit of a chip. You feel the safest when you are with somebody and you are okay. You know, that person is not a threat, right? The feel alone is isolation. It might be actually a consequence of trauma. But then the physical body, it kind of brings and reconnects the implicit with explicit, you know, EMDR, a lot of kind of stuff that they do for counseling. They do a kind of a bilateral, a parallel thing with you. You're feeling your body, you know, somebody's tapping your thing, or you're moving your eyes, and you're reenacting, going back to the wreck, right? But you are here because you're feeling that your body's here. So little by little, safety with your body, present. Those are the first things that come to mind.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, little by like that. I like that little by little safety, and then like the body. Yeah, in the body. Yeah, and it's interesting that all of that you've described takes place with another person. It's having the experience of that, of feeling safe with that person, because in the trauma, perhaps in some way or another, we didn't feel safe in our body. And so we get, it's hard. We may not be able to trust that we could feel safe in our body. Maybe for different reasons, there's a cutoff there. We don't feel like that. And so we sit with another person in their presence, and their calmness, their presence almost like brings a safety to the space, and we get to like take some of that, and we get to have it be our experience too. And to me, yeah, there's just something about that, that other person involved that helps us. That.
Yes, exactly. Is the relationship of or the reality of being in relationship. We are created for that. That's what I say. There is no safety. So a baby feels safe when he's alone? No. babies feel safe when it's with mom, right? So we have that, we are created for some level of attachment with another human being, you know, all the stories of, you know, the monkeys, you might have heard about it, with one monkey is cozy but doesn't have food. The other monkey has food, but is metal, right? And they see the monkeys where they go, they will go to eat, but they want connection. They want something that is real. So, and that is also in the body, if you notice. So, you know, if I think of start talking about it, you know, start talking about it. It's a beginning, and you cannot talk for hours. No, don't push. If you are in the other side of the chair and somebody's telling you about trauma, don't push it too much. You know, just be with that, be safe with that person. Mm-hmm. Explicit memory and implicit memory. Implicit memory is, I don't know, you didn't say anything, but I feel safe with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it might sound cliche to say these things, but often just to say, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, you're safe, you can cry as long as you need to, I'm here, and almost to just keep repeating that, because, you know, their brain may be telling them, ooh, emotions aren't safe, this person's going to, when I cry, they're going to leave the room. So we just continue to remind them, I'm here. I'm here for you. You're safe. You're loved. And we just keep reminding them of that.
So feeling the emotion, that is horrible, by the way, and that might sound, I wouldn't say it this way with somebody who is experiencing trauma. You know what we need to do? We need to sit down and talk, and then I'm going to be safe. And you're gonna be okay, and you're gonna have to feel that emotion again. But I'm gonna be here, okay? So you see, that is like, okay, thank you, but I prefer to go and keep doing whatever I was doing because that's too scary. But at the end of the day, if I allow myself the permission to feel the emotion that I didn't feel, that's the healing. Knowing that the world is not gonna implode this time, that I can see that emotion. Calm in all the intensity, stay for a little and eventually go. So that is self-regulation. So it's an enactment, it's like scaffolding of creating the capacity of that person to self-regulate. But it's not going to do it alone. You need the scaffolding, you need the other person being regulated for you, being peace for you. In the context of a spiritual direction, I don't over spiritualize the thing, but you know, bring Jesus to the trauma. Well, kind of, but where is my peace, right? Where is my peace? I had experiences in talking and inviting with all gentleness and slowly, remember, slow, and here I am. And you know, there's a safe place, and in this safe place is in your body, you know, touch a little bit can you feel your legs? Can you notice the boundaries of your body? Right? You see, you are contained. Your body's okay. And going and experiencing this, and sometimes inviting this presence. You know, it's just, where is Jesus with you? Right? And so if you might be hearing this and saying, "Well, I tried that and it didn't work," but yeah, it might not. I mean, it's little by little. But I had experiences in which one person, it was a female client that was, you know, it was trauma about abuse and a horrible situation of her childhood. I saw her face change and calm. And it was not because of dissociation, right? That's what we do with trauma too. Boom, I'm not here. Here's my body. Do whatever you want with my body. I'm not here. Traumatized. Lost. But when you can be able to be there, and yes, you feel the intention, but you know that you're not alone. Where is God? Can you? And this person immediately said, "Oh, I'm looking at the sky right now." And she was right in the memory of the abuse, right? She was looking at the sky. But you know, I feel the presence, and I saw her face come into a place of not that tense of, oh, but I'm not alone. Feel and touch that. It takes a few seconds. We cannot stay there for long. what we talk about. This person will bring another piece of her story another week or another month, another little piece and another little piece, until there was a moment when this person was able to say, yes, I want to come back, you know. I'm tired of this, having this authority over my life, you know, on this past battle. And so anyway,
that's... Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, I love just the kind of thinking and visualizing things moving through people. Like they move through someone, whether it's through tears, whatever it is. And then I think about it leaves room for other things, so like joy and creativity and... love and all those things that kind of get pushed out when we're just filled with all these unprocessed emotions. So that was a really cool visual. So Marcos, as we kind of wrap this up, I was thinking about people who are coaches in faith walking, people who are in faith walking. How do we be there for people who, So let's say I'm, you know, I'm a faith walking coach. Maybe I'm not like a trained counselor or a trained spiritual director. But how do we show up for other people in ways that help them to process their trauma, process their pain? What do you think are some of the important components of that?
It's a great, great question. Even though this is not 100% a requirement, let me explain. I think it is a requirement, but it's not linear. So I call that safe space. Can I be a safe space for you? Right? So the first thing that comes to mind is don't try to be a counselor. Don't try to minister to the person. Okay, I'm going to find a verse of the Bible. There might be a space for that, you know, and I guarantee you, if God wants to put that verse in the person, he will, right? But can you just learn to be safe? No judgment, no condemnation, no projection. Oh, when that happened to me. Oh, I have a friend who, oh, there's a book that I read. Put that, all that, there will be a space if you want, but you notice that the person is bringing, and you might notice that not only in the other person's body or face or voice, you will notice in your body. Guess what? This emotionally feels. I immediately feel the anxiety of this hard place that you are going, and I don't know what to tell you. So be safe means I don't have really to say much here, but just be with you. Leave all the ideas of how I'm going to fix this problem aside and manage your own anxiety. Manage yourself, because we are so anxious that we end saying and doing things that are not. We rescue people. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. There will be a space. Let that person be in charge of saying when it's enough. That is the first thing that comes to me. What about you, Don?
Yeah, I was thinking of two different experiences I had. I remember being somewhere. It was like a short-term mission trip. I had something happen. I was away from home. Something happened with one of my kids, and I was really upset. I was crying. It was just really emotional for me. And the people that I was with, I could tell that they weren't sure what to do with my emotion. And at the time, I don't think I really knew. Yeah, I don't think I got this at the time, but no one was comfortable with my emotion. And that's not a judgment on them. And I think of other situations where I'm crying, I'm upset, and someone just comes and just sits right next to me. Maybe they put their arm around me, maybe put their hand on my leg, and they just, like you said, you almost don't have to say anything. And I can just be in my pain. I can just feel it. I don't feel like I have to rush through it. I don't have to think about, I don't have to worry about them. Like, are they okay with my pain? But there's a sense of, you can, I'm here and you can take as long as you need, and I'm okay with your pain. And I've noticed for myself, the more I'm comfortable with my own pain, the more I can be with other people in their pain. If I'm afraid of my own pain, which I was for a long time, I can't be with someone else in their pain. To know that, you know, I've heard this phrase said before that sometimes we don't want to, like, people like in different situations are like, I just don't want to go there. I'm afraid if I go there, like, I'll be swallowed up by it. Yes. But the irony is that we're already living in the belly of the whale. We're afraid that it's going to swallow us and take over our lives, but we're already in there because of all of our unprocessed pain. And I like how you talked about that. Usually it's just like that arc of kind of you access the pain, you experience it, you feel it, you cry, you do whatever. And then it kind of just naturally stops. I mean, it just
lifts.
Yeah, lifts. And I think, yeah, I think as I'm with someone in pain, to remind myself, they're going to feel this for a while and then it's going to go away, and to let them know that that's going to happen. And just to whatever, you know, I'm here, like, you're safe. I'm not afraid of your tears. I think I'm so glad that you feel safe enough to cry with me, those kinds of things.
Yeah, that is very good. I love how you talk, learn to be comfortable with my own pain, my own emotions. And that is the work. Makes me think that you are a field worker. And you know, we talk a lot of emotions and how to be with emotions. Befriend your emotions. You know, we are so afraid of that. Yeah, I'm gonna be sore. Never. But when you are with somebody who is able to hold that, that's the space. It's a container. You know, I'm not gonna be swallowed this time because you are with me. And this is not a codependency deal. It is just that moment when your presence allows me to actually be there and know that emotions come. They say that is a spirituality, by the way. Everything arises, has some existence, and eventually fades. And yes, they will come back, you know, and I love the language, you know, and this is an adaptation of Francis of Assisi. Brother pain, brother sister sadness, you know, sister shame is coming. You know, what am I going to do? I try to kick them out. I lock my door to let them not to enter. I move to a different country, but they still find me. You know, what I'm going to do? I pretending that they are not there, but they are there until I actually open the door and sit with them, right? And sit with them. And there's a moment that eventually I call them honoring the emotions. And I know that you might be here and say, this is horrible. I don't want to honor that emotion. There's something about that is actually very tender. I believe that if you want the certainty of one place where I know that I know that I know that God is present, no matter if you believe in God or not, is in those spaces of pain. You might be different. You might have an idea of God and how. It's just, I'm certain that in those moments, there's a background of grace and love of somebody who knows about pain, right? And that is the incarnation of Jesus, and I'm talking about the spiritual direction realm. I can be safe because of that, but I have to be comfortable with my own pain first. If not, I will never be comfortable with yours. And we will do all the things that we do. We project, we distance, we dissociate. It works in the next 5 minutes, but it doesn't work in the long run.
Yeah, that's really good. Really good. Yeah, that's a great spot, I think, to end here our conversation about trauma today. Marcos, thank you so much. This was so rich, and I always learned so much in our conversations. Anything you'd like to say before we end here?
Yeah, thank you. I do learn a lot, Donna. I appreciate, and just the encouragement that has been in my heart all these sessions, episodes. If you if you are hearing this and you know that there's something, you know, you have that felt experience in your body that is telling you, oh, there is something here, talk with somebody. Find somebody who is safe and start by talking. That is the one next step that you do. And hopefully you will be able to find somebody who can be a safe container for you, and you will discover, I think, the beauty of connection.
Yeah, that's really good. Thanks so much, Marcos.
Thank you.